Firstly, what is it, do you think, that what is it about art that makes people want to turn to it in a time of crisis?
Well, it's interesting because we did a study about 3 years ago looking at art in times of war and conflict. And we interviewed over 80 artists who were creating pieces of work in quite extreme situations of kind of war, death, curfews, and similar situations like that. And what we wanted to ask them was, well, why are you creating art in the middle of this war zone and this war and this context? And what we found was, from all the interviews, there were kind of three really major learning points for us. One, that art actually increases threefold in times of a major crisis like war, but also, I think, in a major crisis like a COVID pandemic. And the other thing is that there's less emphasis on the production value. So what you were seeing in some of the videos that are uploaded, there's a lot of fun, there's a lot of everybody's making it, there's collaboration. But even in the sort of live streaming event that we had on Sunday, Together at Home, one of the things that people, I don't know how many of your younger listeners saw that. And, you know, one of the interesting things about that, one of the things we really respond to is that we see kind of major artists at home kind of doing things in a way that is much more authentic. They stripped back from the production values for big videos, from, you know, presenting their kind of performance self. And what you're looking behind the mask of is people responding in really authentic ways to the kind of situation. And it's the same in the war zone. It's not so much important that there's high production values or kind of things. But what's important is that what stories and art and music do is to connect people. And what we found with all the interviews that we did in the war zones was that people have a really human need to connect, to see shows, to laugh, to be moved, and to collaborate in kind of art making process, because it stops the dehumanizing processes.
So when you're being sort of dehumanized because of these huge circumstances, we want to make sure we are presenting ourselves as human as ever.
Yeah, it's a presentation, but I think it also goes deeper than that, because I think it goes back to, once we have secured food and water and shelter, very soon after that, there's a real kind of need to have a human connection. And so it's almost, I would kind of go back to a kind of a core human element of what it is that we need to be human. So once we've got our toilet rolls, once we've got our food in from Coles and from Woolies, we kind of sit around and we get bored, but we also think, my God, what is the rest of the world doing? How do I break out of my own isolation? How do I break out of my context? And we have Wi-Fi and we have the internet, and that's been one of the main platforms for us to connect and to share jokes and to connect with each other, who we know are in all very similar situations. And I think in, you know, a lot of the rhetoric, there's this being concept of an invisible war and an invisible enemy. And I think that there's real kind of connections there between how art and people respond to these situations, between a war and between kind of the COVID situation that we're now in.
And just in terms of the resourcefulness, we see, I mean, people are working with such limited resources at the moment. As you say, they're still producing these works of art, perhaps even more works of art that connect on an even more genuine level. Is there a sort of, we're back in survival mode at the moment. We've got to be resourceful in a lot of things. And that kind of translates through to the art. We've got to be even more resourceful in the kind of art we're producing.
Yeah, absolutely. And it kind of strips it back to kind of what the question of art is, you know, and if you kind of take it back to the cliche, is that when we're sitting around fireplaces talking about stories and story making, we all have that innate human capacity for creating stories, for listening to stories, for making stories. And then the kind of cultural industry came on the back of that need, in a sense. And it's great to see the inventiveness. It's great to see people creating all kinds of fun and interesting and engaging kind of responses to that. But it does come back to a really basic human need to connect and to communicate. And it's something that we often forget in kind of when we're not in crisis mode, because we sort of think of culture as something that is an extra thing, something that you do on a Friday or a Saturday night. But what I think the war research and what I think we're experiencing in the COVID situation is that we can see that there's a direct human need for art.
Mm. And just finally, Michael, I mean, you obviously touched on this a little bit, but have there been some pieces you've seen on social media and the like, you know, some of these creative pieces, these artwork pieces that you yourself have really enjoyed?
I'm just in loving it. I mean, I think it's really fascinating seeing the inventiveness, both from kind of professional artists who obviously are doing it incredibly tough because they've lost all their income, but are still contributing and creating work in the best of their abilities. But also to the people at home, like the families creating stupid videos and kind of music. And, you know, to the pop stars as well. I'm loving the fact that in Shawn Mendes, when the Together at Home kind of video came out, there was a sort of in the background, there was an unmade bed with an old cup of coffee in the background. And it's great to see that. And it's really interesting because it makes us more human to see